Thank you. My name is Beth, and I am an alcoholic. My home group is New Horizons out of Bend, Oregon, and my sobriety date is October 22nd, 1990. And I really want to thank the Three Leg Group for inviting me to speak today, actually to the fact that you invited myself, Carrie, and Stephanie. So much appreciated. And it's an honor to share with you my experience, you know, on the topic of sponsorship today. And what I get to do is just that, share my experience. And I also want to welcome any newcomers who are joining us today. And I hope that you hear something, you know, that gets you curious about what AA can offer you, because it has absolutely changed my life. And it has actually saved my life, and I am indebted to AA for the life I have today. And so I'm so thankful to be here. So the topic of sponsorship, you know, what I get to do is understand, you know, through our literature what sponsorship really is. And you know, my understanding of how that works for me when I'm sponsoring women has evolved over time. But, you know, I think it is so important, you know, to share what my first sponsor, which was my first experience with sponsorship when I came into the rooms of AA, helped me in understanding about the relationship, you know, that I found in AA that helped guide me. And I am so thankful to her. I got sober down in Southern California, and I remember feeling very lost and afraid and, you know, not sure that what AA was or what it had to offer me. And I remember I called the hotline and I asked for a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I walked into my first meeting and there were a whole bunch of people there, and I was desperately afraid. I was afraid of, you know, being there and being seen, and I was afraid to walk out of that room because I was afraid of what I might do. I might drink again. And I had lost, you know, control over alcohol, and I did not want to go back to the way I was living. And so fear kept me in the rooms of AA for quite a while. And, you know, in the course of time, I heard that getting a sponsor was really important. It was important because it would help me to understand how to work this program, because I couldn't work this program on my own. And so I did. I kept my eyes open and I started to look for a sponsor. And the woman that came into my path that others were saying, oh, she'd be really good, was a woman who I listened to share, who talked about how she had transformed from a hard drinking, Harley riding, leather wearing, you know, drunk woman to the woman she was that I saw in the rooms of AA, which was a woman who had a light in her eyes, a smile across her face, and a generous heart and spirit, wearing a floral dress. And I thought, you know, she has something. She has something I don't have. And she attributed her ability to have been transformed as a result of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I reached out to her and I asked her for her phone number, if I could, you know, if she would let me work with her. And she says, I'll give you my number. You make the first call. And she wanted to see if I was really willing. And I made that first call. And I was so scared because I didn't know what was expected of me. But, you know, she was very loving, but very firm with me. She told me to get a big book. And she told me to start to attend a meeting regularly of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, that we would talk and work through the 12 steps. And, you know, that's what I proceeded to do. And the beauty of what she offered me was, you know, she was a woman of action. She showed up. She was always in a meeting. She always had her experience, strength, and hope to carry to the alcoholic who still suffered. She showed me not only, you know, how to work the 12 steps, but she also showed me through the action that she took how to get involved in AA, how to give back. And the greatest thing, you know, that she did was just through her example. You know, she would grab me by the hand and she'd take me to hospitals, you know, where some members might be and, you know, sit and talk with them. She would take me to recovery houses and she would, you know, encourage me, you know, to get out of myself very early on. And, you know, she said, you know, there's opportunity for you to get out of self by getting involved with, you know, the hotline through Intergroup. And, you know, then I got involved in hospitals and institutions down in Southern California and started carrying the message into jails. And, you know, that the beauty of what that offered me was it created the awareness that this was not a program of just sitting in a meeting and absorbing, you know, something, and then that was it. Call it a day. It really reinforced to me that, you know, the 12 steps were about trying to work through the selfishness and self-centeredness that I suffered from and to encourage me to extend myself to others. And, you know, for this alcoholic, as our literature says, you know, selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my trouble. And oftentimes I hear these days, you know, people will say, well, gosh, this is a selfish program. I couldn't disagree more strongly with that. In my experience, I spent years out there doing nothing but be selfish. AA has taught me how to be selfless. You know, to think of myself less, to think of others more, to offer a hand where a hand is needed to help others to recover. And so, you know, it's through the action that she demonstrated and by her example that she showed me how this program can work and transform my life. She also told me what this wasn't. You know, she said, this is not a program for just anyone. It's for the alcoholic. And she told me when she first started sponsoring me that she's not a doctor, she's not a therapist, she's not a financial advisor, you know, and she's not the one who's going to make choices for me in my life. She's going to help guide me through the steps so that the steps and the principles applied through those steps will help guide my own choices. And I can live with either the rewards or the consequences of those choices, but always learn a lesson through them. And I'm grateful for that. You know, one of the things that a lot of the women that I sponsor today, you know, will often hear me say is that my first sponsor told me, you know, that she doesn't tolerate sponsoring victims. And I came into the rooms of AA with a violin playing a really sad song about my poor life and poor me over and over again. And she brought me up pretty quick on that one and said, I'm not sponsoring victims. You always have a choice, Beth. And so I soon learned, you know, that that was a card that I had to not play with her anymore. She wasn't going to tolerate it. And I got down to the nuts and bolts of what my part is so that I could really understand that I do have choices and that I am not a victim today. And, you know, she demonstrated, you know, through her own example about the transformation that can happen from being an irresponsible person to being a responsible person, about paying your bills, about maintaining commitments, about being somewhere where you when you said you'd be there, about extending yourself even if it's uncomfortable. You know, the thing that I really learned early on was, you know, my comfort. if I was seeking only my comfort, I would not grow. And my experience has been through a series of a lot of uncomfortable circumstances and situations, you know, and doing the contrary action of what my wish might be has served me well to grow. And in that growth, you know, what I've been able to do is I've been able to see, you know, for myself that transformation is possible through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am no longer the same woman that I was when I got here. So sponsorship is really key. And the thing that I can't say enough of is that, you know, the things that she offered me early on were really foundational, because before I turned 4 years sober, I moved up to Bend, Oregon. And shortly after that, several months after that, actually, she passed away. And so I had to find a new sponsor in Bend. And I went through a few sponsors before I found the one that fit. And, you know, we worked together and worked the steps again. And the reason why we did that was because she wanted to get to know me and understand who I was through the lens of the 12 steps. And the beauty of that is that there's accountability through that process as well. You know, I'm no longer a stranger to that person. I get to reveal exactly who I am and continue the process of being guided and growing through that sponsorship. And today, what I can say is that when I sponsor women, you know, I do sit down with them and I tell them, you know, what I'm able to do. I'm able to offer my experience, strength, and hope. I'm able to guide you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous so that you can recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, that you can actually be free from alcohol, and that I am not a therapist and I am not a doctor. And if you need those things, then, you know, we can go and find you those resources. And that if I don't have an experience with something, I'm not going to pretend I do. I'm not going to insult you, and I'm not also going to let my pride step in the way and think that I should know something when I haven't had the experience. That's a disservice to someone I would sponsor. It's only through my own experience that I have something to offer. And if I don't have that experience, I have plenty of other people that I know who might have experience that can be helpful to a woman I sponsor. You know, because that's what we do. We pass on only our experience. You know, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous have brought me to a point of understanding that, you know, there is a God of my understanding that actually is my solution and provides me everything that I need. And I am but an instrument for the women that I work with. And I understand today that the sponsor that I had was but an instrument for me. She was an instrument of her higher power's will. And I believe that she was put into my life by a higher power, by my higher power. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, the women that are with me today, Carrie and Stephanie, you know, I watch them grow in their own sobriety. And I have to tell you, it is the most awe-inspiring experience to watch these women from where they came from to where they are today. It fills my heart and it inspires me. And they teach me things that I would otherwise not know about myself and about this program. You know, I get to learn from others today. I remain teachable. I remain open. And in that, I can learn from a whole host of people through the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous who choose to work this program and let it transform them. I am so grateful for, you know, the lessons that I continue to learn. One of the things my first sponsor did not do with me was she did not take me through the traditions. And, you know, it's only been in the last, you know, I'd say maybe 10 plus years, you know, that I have really come to understand and embrace the traditions and the meaning of them. And I have to tell you that it's been inspired by the women that I've sponsored and the home group that I belong to, that the traditions have taken on such an important meaning to me today. And so today I get to pass that on to the women I now sponsor. And what a beautiful experience that is, because this is what binds us together. This is what holds us together. And, you know, what I'm forever grateful for is that, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, we can grow as big as we want to be. And alcohol plays no part in my life whatsoever. I'm absolutely free of that. But, you know, sponsorship today for me, not only is it a privilege to be able to offer my experience with another woman who's seeking recovery, but it's also a responsibility. I must give this away in order to keep what I have, but it's also a responsibility to those who suffer that I feel in my heart is what my higher power would have me do. You know, and I'll end with this. Everyone sponsors differently, and it doesn't mean that there's only one way to do it. But what I do know is that the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're looking for a sponsor who hasn't worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you're not going to get very much. But if you seek someone who has worked the 12 steps, who has a sponsor themselves, you know, then you will get a rich and rewarding release from the obsession to drink. You too can have a life beyond, you know, your imagination, because that's been my experience. And, you know, we have lots of literature. There's a pamphlet out there, if anyone's new in the room. It's called Question and Answers on Sponsorship. You know, it's a pamphlet that can answer some questions for you, or if you're about to sponsor, those are some great, that's a great resource for asking or answering some questions that you may have. And, you know, I'll wrap up with this. On the back of that pamphlet, there is a statement that we all, you know, many of us who've been here for a long time are familiar with, and it's the responsibility statement. I am responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible. I'm so grateful for the sponsorship that I've had. I'm so grateful for the women that I get to have in my life, you know, who honor me with their trust. And I am so grateful to be here today and share my experience with you. And thank you again.
Hi, my name is Carrie and I am an alcoholic. My home group is the New Horizons group in beautiful Bend, Oregon. Right now we're meeting 7 days a week. On the Zoom platform, when we go back into the church, we will probably go back in for the regular 6 days, but we have a permanent online tradition study every Sunday from now on. So that's pretty exciting for me. And it's even more exciting that it was my sponsor, Beth, who just spoke, that, you know, brought that motion to the floor. I was a little choked up when Beth was sharing. Because how lucky am I? I'm not so arrogant to think today that everyone has the same great opportunity in Alcoholics Anonymous that I've been given. I have been given some giants. I have been given some mentors that I don't know what I've done, you know, to deserve what I've been given in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't take that for granted. I don't express that I'm a grateful alcoholic too often, because my first sponsor was big on telling me, talk is cheap. You want to know how grateful you are? What are you doing for Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And that's how I was raised in this fellowship. So, Again, my sobriety date is March 25th, 2010. My birthday, my belly button birthday falls on the 25th too, not 2010 though. And so I always get those two confused, but I have just over 10 years sober. So I've been with Beth for about almost 10 years. I did have a previous sponsor before Beth, and then I guess I would say a sponsor and a half before Beth. when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was self-will run riot. I didn't have a direction. I had never had any discipline in my life. I had a lock on my bedroom door by the time I was 12 years old. I was having boys stay the night by the time I was 12 years old. I had never been grounded in my life. Every time I got in trouble with the cops, my dad would hire the best lawyers and attorneys. I never had to pay for anything. I never had consequences. When I moved out away from home, I moved in with my then boyfriend, now husband, who would spend his time, you know, cleaning up my puke and deleting messages off of my phone and trying to cover up, you know, the messes that I would make when I was drinking. All the other husbands, when I go out with the moms, would say stuff like, you know, you got to be back by 8, or you got to be, and my husband would just say, oh, just have fun, you know, and he would pick me up from the bar or from the jail or from wherever. And so I never had consequences before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And my first sponsor, I think she could tell that I was very entitled. I was very much of a victim, and I love that my sponsor has told me, and she only had to tell me once, that she doesn't sponsor victims, you know, and I get to look at my part. I get to look at my wrongs, and I get to clean that up. I don't get to be a victim. And I think that that's one of the things that's kept me sober. I came in definitely to where the world owed me. I came in not wanting to learn anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. I edited the entire big book, crossed the word God out. I put in a whole bunch of outside issues in there. My side notes are all like a big part circled with the side notes that say bullshit. You know, I didn't want what you had. I thought you guys wanted what I had. I came in 5 minutes late to the meetings. I left 5 minutes early because I didn't want to talk to you, touch you, have you pray over me, nothing. When I finally thought that maybe, when it finally occurred to me that maybe I'm here in Alcoholics Anonymous because you guys needed so much help, that's when I started trying to help you. And I was going to update your literature. The literature needed to be updated, the meetings needed to be upgraded, and y'all started needing to act right. And so that was going to be my job, to help with all that. I didn't know anything about being one among many. I thought I had 4 home groups. Every meeting I attended needed my help. And I was at the business meetings, telling y'all what to do and what you were doing wrong. I was definitely a handful, and I got a sponsor that I didn't call. I got a big book that I didn't read, and I got a home group that I didn't attend. But I couldn't figure out why I couldn't quit drinking. And I finally got in enough pain to where, you know, I got myself that first sponsor who, you know, she was a little bit of a, it seemed like I could do nothing wrong. She told me, I could tell. This is what she says. I can tell that you've been patted on the ass for bad behavior your entire life, and the buck stops here. And that's exactly the way she would put it too. And my first grand sponsor is still in the rooms today here locally. And every time she says that in the rooms, because she says that at group level, I always hear my first sponsor saying it to me, and I cringe because it's true. The buck did stop there. That's where I stopped being the victim and I started being held accountable. I had to be where I said I was going to be. I had to do what I said I was going to do. We had a sponsorship meeting at her house every Monday night at 6 o'clock. I couldn't come 2 Mondays out of the month. I couldn't come 3 Mondays out of the month. I had to be there all 4 Mondays out of the month. And if I was there at 6:01, the door was locked and she wouldn't open the door. And she said, better luck next week. And she wasn't able to take my calls until I was there on time the next Monday. I needed that. At the time, I didn't know I needed it. I drove home crying the 2 nights that I came at 6:01 and the door was locked. And that's really, you know, that sounds really over the top for some people. And it is, you know, there's a wrench for every nut in Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God too, because if I was the right sponsor for everyone, I don't have time. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? So thank God that there's, you know, a different, everybody needs something a little different. And Beth was talking about how there's no wrong way to do it, right? Like it doesn't matter who's right in Alcoholics Anonymous, it matters who's left. And I like that. And there's definitely as many sponsorship lines or as many ways of doing this thing as you can count, you know? But the way I like to explain it when I first meet with somebody who asks me to sponsor them is that there's a sponsorship line over here, right? That tells you, you got to sit in the front row 10 minutes early for meetings, text check-in. You got to wear a, you know, heels or a tie or whatever. You got to do this, got to do that. Keep your legs closed for the first 90 days and don't date for the first, you know, year or whatever, all that stuff. And, you know, that works for some people, you know, it does. And then there's this sponsorship line over here that's like, if it's not in the big book, then I don't have any right telling you, you know, I mean, whatever's in the book and that's all. And then there's everything in between and not one of those is wrong. The only thing that I have seen fail miserably is when somebody wants to cherry pick what they like out of this line and what they like out of this line, and they just take what they want and leave the rest. And I couldn't do that. I had to do what I was finally told, Carrie, pick a side and ride, you know, and that's what I had to do. I had to stop using my best thinking and rely on something other than me until I was introduced to a power greater than myself, because I didn't come in relying on God. I do today, but that wasn't my experience when I first got to AA. And so it was my sponsor who led me through that big book, you know, where it said, do we do? I mean, we read line by line, you know, where it says, pray, we prayed, where it says, write, we wrote. She didn't add anything in there for my comfort. We didn't add words. We didn't add words like drugs and alcohol, alcoholics and codependency, people, places, and things. It was about alcohol. We didn't add anything and we didn't take anything away for my comfort. She didn't take away the God word. She didn't take away any of these other hard pills that were for me to swallow. And the way that was explained to me, and thank God for our literature. Thank God for the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because as it says in the foreword to the fourth edition, our literature is what preserves the integrity of the AA message. And could you imagine, and this is what I offer those that I sponsor, could you imagine if we didn't have the literature and we were still relying on hearsay? I don't know if any of you guys, when you were 12, 13 years old, used to do slumber parties. I did. I was a girl who was always at a slumber party, and we had this game, and we would sit in this big circle, and the person, the storyteller, it was called telephone. I would tell this person to my left a story in her ear to where nobody else can tell it or nobody else can hear. And then she would tell the person to her left that same story, and she would tell person to her left that same story. And by the time it gets all the way around to the person on my right, and the thing to do with the story that I originally told, and the message was completely twisted, And sometimes it wasn't even the same, like sometimes it didn't even resemble the same story. And that's what we would have if it weren't for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So the way I take people through the Big Book is exactly what my sponsor showed me. We don't change anything. We don't add anything. We don't take anything away. And if I find something that works for me, I don't know, some sort of diet or exercise regimen or whatever, that's great. And I can offer experience, but I don't get that confused with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I make very clear that that's not the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous can be found in the first 103 pages outlined in that Big Book, and it's clear cut directions. And you know, since I threw in the towel on the program of As Carrie Sees It and picked up the Big Book of As Bill Sees It, I haven't had to take a drink, you know, and it's been over 10 years. And so whenever I start to get creative and think I know what's best for a sponsee of mine, I have to remember that first time that I asked Beth to sponsor me, and she sat me down at Jackson's Corner, which is the nearest restaurant to our home group. And we sat there, and I sat across the table from her, and she asked me two things. She said, and she probably doesn't even know that I remember this, and I remember it so clearly, because there was so much humility in it. She said, number one, do you have any reservations? And I was honest with her. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I was honest with her. I said, yeah, I do. I said, I've given everything to God. I've done a third step. But there's one thing I'm not ready to give to God yet. And there was one thing that I wasn't ready yet for. And I won't tell you what that was, but I wasn't ready yet. And I thought that was going to be a deal breaker, but she said, you know, she considered it and she said, okay, we'll see what happens in the steps. And she trusted the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous so much that she knew. Now it took me until I was 4 years sober. But she knew the power of this program even before I did. I didn't think there was going to be any way that I was going to be able to relinquish this thing that I wasn't willing to give up. And I did. The second thing she said is, Carrie, you have a four-year-old daughter. My daughter's 15 now. She said, you have a four-year-old daughter. I don't have kids. I've never had my own children. And I don't offer advice. She said, it's not my job as a sponsor to offer advice. So, you know, you need to consider that if we're going to start this relationship. She said, I won't pretend to know how to handle things that I haven't been through. I'm here to share experience with you, but not advice. And and she's lived up to that, you know, because at 4 years sober, when I did have the, when I had it in me, damn it, when I finally, as a result of the steps, you know, came to a place where I was willing to let go absolutely. And I filed divorce papers, and, you know, the first thing she did was say, listen, I don't have experience in going through, you know, anything custody related, anything. She said, but here's Amy's phone number. And it was another woman that she sponsors who has been through that before. And she gave that to me right up front. She didn't offer me advice. She didn't offer me some sort of a level of pretending to understand. She said, this is one of those experiences that I don't have experience with, but I sponsor other women who do. And that's what I try to do today. With the women that I sponsor, you know, a lot of them are older in age than me. They might have more, you know, life experience than me. I'm not going to pretend to know what menopause feels like. I'm not going to pretend to know what, you know, a husband dying feels like. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not that arrogant today. I have to do what my sponsor has shown me through her actions. And I sponsor enough women, you know, I sponsor enough women, and I've heard enough fifth steps to know exactly where to direct the women I sponsor to another woman who has been there and done that. And I, and one of the things that I just love about this, this sponsorship thing is, those who know me, or have even been around me for more than 5 minutes know that attention seeking behavior is one of my biggest character defects. Okay. Let's put that aside. All right. My, one of another biggest character defects of mine is, I love gossip. I like to shit talk. I like to, I am, you know, I, it's one of those dubious luxuries of normal men. But for me, and God has just given me this ability. I don't know where it came from. I'm only now starting to realize after 10 years sober that it's been the truth for me. But as much as I love to put myself on my soapbox and to be arrogant and to talk down and judge you, because for some reason that's still to this day my, you know, one of my character defects is, but as much as I like to do that, and as much as I like to go to somebody else and say, oh my God, you'll never guess what happened and you'll never guess what she said and you'll never guess what he said in a meeting. And as much as I like to do that, and that's just second nature for me, since I've been a sponsor and I have sponsored well over 100 women, don't get me wrong, probably close to 200 women, never once, not even have I been tempted. I don't know where this comes from. My best guess is that because it's a spiritual program and I take sponsorship very as a spiritual responsibility, and I have every single woman that I have taken on, I have said a prayer and I have made a deal with God that this is a spiritual privilege that I don't take lightly. But I have never once been tempted to be loose-lipped around, with a person that I sponsor's information. Never once. And it's so much to the extreme that, say, Stephanie has something going on, you know, that I don't have experience with, but I know another woman who has experience with it. I won't even tell Stephanie, why don't you call Jamie or Maura or whatever, and she has the same experience and this is what happened to her and maybe you guys can talk. What I say is, Stephanie, why don't you call this woman, this other woman that I sponsor, and tell her what's going on with you? And then that way, my other sponsee who's getting the phone call has an opportunity to decide for herself if she wants to share that information. And that is a spiritual practice that I don't do anything perfectly in Alcoholics Anonymous. Please don't get me wrong. You know, I work the 12 steps to the best of my ability, failing miserably every time. But that is one thing that I haven't tripped up on yet. And I do believe that that is a power greater than myself, because it is definitely not Carrie B. And so I love the fact that, that my higher power has given me that gift. And I think that it comes in one of the promises. I think it's on page 132. It says that we have recovered and been given the power to help others. And I think that that came with being given the power to help others. I don't think I would have had that if I hadn't had that spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps. So now when somebody comes to me and asks me to sponsor them, I don't take it lightly. I don't say, oh yeah, sure. I've never said no. Never once have I said no. But what I say, and this comes from a lot of, you know, I've sponsored a lot of different ways, right? And I call my first 24, 25 sponsees, my first couple of dozen victims. Believe me, I was, I don't want to use the N-word because the last time I did, I offended a bunch of people. But I definitely got a history lesson in what a Nazi was that day. So I won't use that word, but, I was definitely not the sponsor you would have wanted in my first 24 sponsees or so. So I've changed, you know, through what works, what doesn't work, whatever. And it's so funny that everything that I've ended up throwing out is not in the big book, and everything that I've ended up keeping is directly found in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, chapter 7, Working with Others. I mean, it's tried and true, and I don't need to recreate the wheel. So when somebody comes to me and asks me to sponsor them, I am a three legacy sponsor. If you're not, that's okay. You know, if you're not, that's okay. My sponsor's not. My sponsor, you know, Beth has been, I don't know, like sober for 30 years, right? Decades of sobriety, but she's never even been a GSR. So how would she guide me in general service, right? So I've had a service sponsor my whole, since I was 11 months sober, I've had a service sponsor. I'm very involved in service and I always have been. So I'm a Three Legacy sponsor, which means, will you ask me to sponsor you? That means that you're going to go through all 36 spiritual principles. We're going to learn all three sides of the triangle. And you're going to start giving this thing away. Debbie D spoke at my home group earlier today, and she spoke on this topic. She spoke on sponsorship. We're on step 12 at my home group. And I love what she says. She says, I don't sponsor takers. You know, I mean, if you don't need to do this thing the way I do it, if you don't need to get through those 12 steps so you can go and give them to someone else, then that's great. You know, you might not need that. You might be okay with the easier, softer way. But if you don't need that, you don't need me. There's plenty of other sponsors out there that will be happy to let you call them sponsor, even in name only. But that's not me. Like, I don't sponsor in name only. I don't fit the bill to that joke when somebody asks me, how many people do I sponsor? I don't say about half of them and laugh, because I do sponsor every woman who calls me their sponsor. I sponsor them. I stay current with them. I stay face to face with them. I stay current on their step work. And I stay current. And if you don't need that, then that's fine. There's no wrong way to do this thing, but you don't need me. I'm here to take you through all three legacies of Alcoholics Anonymous. So when you ask me to sponsor you, I say, well, let's talk about it. We go out to frozen yogurt or coffee, and we sit down and we have a conversation of what that relationship would look like. Because in my early sobriety, I made so many mistakes, having unrealistic expectations of the women that I sponsored, and the women that I sponsor had unrealistic expectations of me. And so I have come up with a formula, and I'm not a cookie cutter sponsor, and I don't have the same relationship. You know, Debbie D also was saying today that she treats every single one of her sponsees equally. They all get the same thing for their birthday. They all get, and that's not me. I don't do that. Every one of my sponsees, I have a different relationship with. You know, I'd like to say I'm not friends with any of them. I have become friends with one or two of them. And that works for time being. I did become too close of friends with one of them, and we got her a new sponsor. You know, everybody's different, that I sponsor, but we all start out the same way. I start you out the exact same way. And I'm just going to read this, and this is what I'm going to end with. This is my sponsorship expectations. Carrie's, not the big books, not, I mean, there's only one requirement for membership in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is a desire to stop drinking. But if you're going to call me your sponsor, there's a whole bunch more requirements. You're going to have to go to some AA meetings. You're going to have to read the big book. You're going to have to be an alcoholic. I mean, there's a few more requirements if I'm going to take my time and walk you, you know, if you're going to call me your sponsor, there's more requirements than just a desire to stop drinking. So my spiel is broke down into three pieces. What I don't do as a sponsor, what I do as a sponsor, and then things that I will expect from you. So there's no surprises later on down the road. What I don't do as a sponsor, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a taxi cab. I'm not a hotel. I'm not a bank account. And I'm sure as hell not daycare. That's what I don't do as a sponsor. I hardly even like my own kid. So what I do as a sponsor, I guide you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I introduce you to people and help you to get acquainted with a home group. And that's how you become part of AA. I make suggestions based on my own experience and support you as you walk through your life issues using AA's 12 steps. And then finally, I teach you about AA etiquette and help you to learn AA's traditions and eventually about AA's service structure, which is our third legacy and the 12 concepts of world services. And then things that I will expect of you. I want an honest sobriety date. That means if you are self-medicating, that's not an honest sobriety date. If your doctor is medicating you, I have no business in that. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you to get off a prescription. I can't tell you to go on a prescription. I support the medical society. But if you're self-medicating, if you're taking that medication as self-prescribed, or if you're on the marijuana maintenance program or any of that, there's a better way and it's not me. I can't do that. So an honest sobriety date to get active in the 12 steps right away. You will be an active member of an AA home group, meaning in attendance at every monthly business meeting. 90 and 90, I don't care. I don't care how many meetings you go to, but I want you to be a member of a group, a member of a group with a GSR, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole, not a drive-by meeting maker. Drive-through food is good. It tastes good, but it's not too good for you. And I think that's the same with AA meetings. I want you to bring your big book to you, with you to every meeting, because you wouldn't show up for an algebra class without your algebra book. And I don't want you to ever forget that the program is in the book, not in the meetings. Before you share at an AA meeting, I need you to identify and qualify, which for me, that means I'm Carrie, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm also a member in good standing. I don't have to say that I'm a member in good standing, because people could think that that's a lack of humility because of how arrogant it sounds. But I also want you to tell what your home group is and if you're working steps. So I say, you know, my home group is New Horizons and I'm currently working steps 10, 11, and 12. And that way people know, you know, I was asked several times in a period of 1 week, how do you know who the winners are? My sponsor told me they're the people who are working steps and have a home group. And then lastly, first Thursday of each month, we have a sponsorship meeting. And that's where we study the tradition and the concept of the month. And once you're through the steps, you're at that meeting every month. Other potential sponsors to call is my last thing that I have down here. And if I haven't scared you away by the time you get done with all this, then I send you home with this list of three additional women who don't sponsor like I do. And I make sure that you're equipped with other people so that if you want me to sponsor you after everything you just heard, you know damn well what you're getting into. So that's my spiel, and I can't wait to hear from Stephanie. Thanks.
Stephanie, I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 1/6/15. Carrie is my sponsor. My home group is New Horizons, and I am currently working steps 10, 11, and 12. That requirement sheet that Carrie just read was read to me when I finally met Carrie in person. My story of how I found Carrie was I had just gotten out of the ICU and locked back up into yet again, like my fifth rehab I had been in the course of several years. And I had a spiritual awakening a little bit, I would say more of a mental shift in that ICU when I woke up. That I wasn't doing things, my way was getting me nowhere. And so I started following direction at that moment. So I started following the direction of the doctors at first, and then the lovely people that worked at the mental institution I was in, and then again, the lovely counselors at the rehab facility I was in. It was my fifth time doing this same event over and over and over again in a very short period of time. And that counselor at the rehab facility said, you know, we really don't think you should leave. But I desperately wanted to get home because it was my youngest daughter's first birthday coming up. And she said, you can't go home unless you go home to a sponsor. And I was like, what? Like, what is that? And I knew two women in AA. I knew Carrie and another woman. They were on my Facebook. And so I reached out to both of these women via Facebook saying, I need a sponsor. They're not going to let me out of here. And after several mornings at 7 a.m. calling and leaving Carrie a message from this rehab facility, I think it was like the seventh day she finally answered. And I was like, oh, thank God she answered. And she said, I feel like you've had a little bit of a mental shift. When do you get out of there? And I told her what day, and she said, okay, that day you're coming and meeting me at this meeting. So I literally got home, said hello to my children, and went straight to the AA meeting. And she was there. I see it, sweetie. Sorry. Okay, go be a sister. I'm so sorry. My little monkey just walked in the door. And she said, I walked into the meeting and she took one look at me and she said, go make the coffee. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to make coffee. Do you not know I've been hiding in my closet drinking for 10 years straight? And after that meeting, she said, okay, we're going to meet again tomorrow and we're going to start going through the big book. And that's exactly what we did. She read me that list of requirements. At that point, I knew that I didn't have an opportunity to say no. I had run out of options. I was really desperate. I was physically dying from the disease of alcoholism and I was suicidal. I knew the 12 steps and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous was my only shot, right? Like I knew if I tried Alcoholics Anonymous and failed it, that was going to be like my great excuse to then go kill myself. And so her requirements did not scare me. I just said, tell me what to do next, basically. I cried my whole entire first year of sobriety. I did not say much. I did, however, follow direction fairly well. We would meet once a week at the library with my baby on my lap, and we read these pages word for word. She explained, while we were going through the steps, she explained how I would then be taking other people through the steps and taught me how to do that while I was going through my own steps. Through that process, I did get a home group and was of service from day one in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have never been without a service position. In fact, I very much so love being of service today. At first, I didn't understand the whole reasoning of why we are of service. Today, I do. Today, I'm my home group recording secretary, and I tell you guys, this position has carried me through several very difficult life-on-life term situations in the last year and a half. And having this service position and being able to turn my thoughts to my home group and other members of Alcoholics Anonymous have saved my butt from, myself many of times. Process of going through the steps, for most people, I hear a lot of my sponsees say, oh, I got so much relief after step three. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's really good for you because that didn't happen for me. I hear a lot of people say they get a lot of relief after step 5, 6, and 7. And I'm thinking, wow, that sounds lovely. Did not happen for me. I did what I was told. I followed directions. I, did step three on my knees with my sponsor. I did step 5, 6, and 7 at my sponsor's house in her bedroom, praying for God to remove these characters of defect that stand in my way. But it didn't feel much better. I was still really in a lot of pain and I was still very selfish. Like, poor Stephanie, was just oozing self-pity. I went and cleared up the wreckage of my past in step 9. And again, God saw fit at that point to remove my obsession to drink. And that was one hell of an amazing day. I'll never forget that day. I was walking my littlest daughter to preschool and because I couldn't drive. I couldn't drive for the first 3 years of my sobriety. And I was like, gosh, I'm not actually thinking about drinking. Like, this is not a normal pattern for me. It was actually a little bit frightening. And I remember texting Carrie going, oh my gosh, I don't think I thought about drinking in a week. Like, I'm putting the dates together here. And it's been a while since I've been not thinking about drinking or killing myself. You know, but I still was just really sad, and I got myself into a lot of wreckage, and I really hurt a lot of people that I love, and I was still oozing that self-pity, and the day came that I was on step 12, and Carrie's, you know, suggested that I start raising my hand in meetings and reaching out to newcomers and, you know, making myself available. And a gal had asked me to meet for coffee and go over sponsorship with her. And I remember getting off of the bus to walk to the coffee shop, and I still felt like just the world's biggest loser. And I walked into that coffee shop going, how am I, this person who like can barely look at myself in the mirror, going to help this woman right now? How is this going to even work out? But I came armed with facts about myself, and I came armed with the big book. And I sat down at that coffee shop, listened to this woman share with me about her alcoholism. And I shared a little bit about my alcoholism, and I opened the big book, and we read a couple of pages in the big book together. And, you know, I went over that sheet that Carrie just read with her about requirements for sponsorship, and I left that coffee shop 100% free. Like, I left that self-pity and that depression and that pain all there that day at that coffee shop. I walked out, and I was walking down the street. I felt like I was floating, like literally floating. I was so free. That weight I had been carrying around just was gone. And that is when, you know, everything started to make sense. What I had learned in the big book, why Carrie was so adamant about sponsoring other women, why we do this, because, you know, I have only been through two experiences, being a really, really, really bad drunk and being a really spiritually fit, sober woman. Those are the two experiences that have impacted my life the most. And that is what gives me the purpose and the privilege to be able to pass this thing along to other women. Sponsoring is definitely the bright spot of my life. There's been, you know, I never knew that feeling of joy. Like that feeling of joy, I would hear people talk about it in the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. But that's something I had not yet experienced in my entire life. Oh, I don't want to cry. But the first woman I sponsored who actually got through all of the 12 steps and was willing to go to any length for her sobriety. That day that she called me and she said, I haven't thought about drinking, brought me to my knees. I was so overjoyed for this woman. I felt it for when it happened for me, but when it happened for her, that gave me more joy than anything in the world. And then when that woman sat there with me and went through her entire fifth step, her whole life story, and said, thank you. Like, thank you for being here for me. And thank you for always picking up your phone. I thought, well, this is just what I have to do, but it provides me so much joy. Like sitting there listening to these women, I get joy out of it. That is, you know, yes, it says in the big book, nothing so much ensures immunity from drinking than working with others. But the flip side of that is I don't have to worry about drinking, but I also receive a ton of joy. And since I now know what joy feels like, I can experience in other areas of my life, right? I have these beautiful children that I was literally drinking myself to death ignoring. And today when they're in the back seat telling me what they did that day at school, I get that feeling of joy. And out of all of the things that the big book promises us as we go along these steps, joy was not one on my list. And today, that is probably the greatest feeling I have ever felt in my entire life. Besides the freedom of alcohol, right? That is amazing. And Beth and Carrie have been here for me since I got. Carrie's always been my sponsor, and I pray that she always will be. She knows me better than I know myself. And thank God for that, because I'm the one that gets myself into the most trouble. You know, Beth and Carrie have been here through some really great times for me, and they have been here through some really, 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 really difficult, painful times for me. I'll never forget that, you know, I had to go to jail in the first year of my sobriety, and I was really scared, very scared, so scared that I didn't trust God. I have trouble trusting God, but I couldn't find my higher power through all of that fear. And I remember one day in the library, Carrie said, you know, you don't have to find God right now, but can you just trust me? And she had been with me through so much already. I was like, yeah, I can trust you. And Beth and Carrie went with me to court that day, along with several other members in our sponsorship line. And they sat there and watched me bawl my eyes out in front of this judge. And they didn't judge me for acting that way. Nobody said, you didn't look real good. Nobody said, Steph, why are you crying? I couldn't stop crying. I was in so much fear and so much pain from what I had done while I was drinking. But that experience today, for them showing up, I was given a fabulous example of what I am supposed to do today. I've been to court for several women in Alcoholics Anonymous and just sat there and held their hand because it's scary. I have driven sponsees to jail and picked them up from jail. You know, that's the experience I get to pass along today. You know, there's no greater gift than watching someone else recover. You know, it's great to recover, but watching someone else recover is the greatest gift in the whole entire world. And I'm going to close by reading a little paragraph out of Bill's story. Beth actually read it a couple of days ago when she celebrated her birthday at New Horizons. It says, my friend had to emphasize the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. So thank you so much, Three Legs Group, for allowing me to come speak today. It was a great meeting.
Thank you so much. So I am going to ask all three of you to unmute, because we're going to go ahead into the questions and answers. I actually have some pretty good questions, so I'm excited. So the first one I'm going to go ahead and read off. It says, if your sponsee is on medication prescribed for their mental health and stops taking their meds, do you consider them not sober because they're not being compliant with their prescribed medication? So I guess anybody can answer, or all three of you can give us an answer, however you guys want to do this.
Beth, you want to take that one?
Carrie, I was in the middle of trying to unmute my phone and I didn't catch the entire question. So why don't you go ahead?
I can read it again if you'd like. Okay,
great. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, so the question is, if your sponsee is on medication prescribed for mental health and they stop taking their meds, do you consider them not sober since they are not compliant with their prescribed medications?
Beth, alcoholic. From my experience, absolutely not. That is not my call. I do not consider them not sober. But what I would do is I would encourage them to seek their medical help, or seek talking to a doctor, because obviously it's a prescription that was required for a reason that initiated the prescription to begin with. And I'm not a doctor, but they need that doctor's input.
The only thing I can add personally would be pamphlet P11, pamphlet P11, pamphlet P11. I carry it in my purse. So, you know, AA member medications and other drugs, it has experience, strength, and hope that I don't have. Again, I'm not a doctor, but that pamphlet has some wonderful experience, strength, and hope from other AA members.
Stephanie, do you want to add anything or do you want me to go on to the next question?
I've had experience with a sponsee who was unable to stay sober because she refused to go seek outside help. And without having the outside help first, she could not ever achieve sobriety, no matter how many times we went through the steps or meetings we took. So sometimes you have to be a little firm in making sure that they follow through with the medical side of things prior to starting the 12 steps.
Our next question is, hold on. How do you handle a sponsee that agrees to the conditions of sponsorship and then doesn't follow through? Carrie.
Yeah, that's a good one. So for me, the conversation that I had yesterday went something like this. You know, it is not fair for me to let you believe that you're being sponsored in AA. Because when you go out and drink, you're going to think AA failed you. So if you can't take suggestions from me, then you need to find somebody who you match with better, who you can take directions from. But I can't, it would be unfair of me to let you believe that you're being sponsored in AA because you're not doing what we agreed upon at the beginning.
Stephanie or Beth, would you guys like to answer that one also?
Carrie summed it up.
Yeah, Carrie did.
Okay, the next question I do have, this one's been really popular for our previous sponsorship workshops also. And they say, they're asking the question of, do you think that it's necessary to find a local sponsor or can it be on Zoom with the pandemic, everything being closed down?
I have been sponsoring women from all over the United States. You know, I do think that it's 100% ideal. You know, I think it's easier to make up excuses when you're not face to face with someone and you're doing things via text message and over the phone or over Zoom. Obviously that takes a little bit of the accountability piece off. But in the same hand, it still works, right? The big book is in Chicago, just as the big book is here in Bend, Oregon. And the way that I was taught to sponsor is straight out of the big book. So, you know, I may not see this person's face and their facial expressions, as long as that the person on the other end of the phone is willing to be honest. It does work fine. Maybe not ideal, but if you're coming in during the pandemic, this is really your only option. And we don't say no for those who are willing. And so, you know, it's working, you know, a couple of my sponsees are also sponsoring women out of town and it is definitely working. Maybe not 100% ideal, but it is what it is.
Yeah, for me, I haven't had much luck with beginners. You know, the women that I've sponsored women from, you know, not in town or not even in this state, for a few years now, but they're women that already have sobriety time, significant sobriety time. And they just are looking for, you know, more, or maybe those other two legacies that their first sponsor didn't give them or whatever. The newcomers that I'm sponsoring right now are here local. And I definitely always have newcomers that I'm working with. But I, I haven't had much luck working with someone from out of town. Now, as far as me goes, I would be able to keep my sponsor today. When I move away from Central Oregon, I will be able to keep my sponsor. I'm in a great relationship with her. It would work fine. 3 years ago, even, I would say I still needed that face-to-face. You know, Beth and I were meeting face-to-face for an hour a week, one-on-one, religiously for years up until just, you know, probably about a year ago, we went to twice a week because, again, we're a part of the same home group. So we see each other at least three times a week in a meeting. But I was a high maintenance sponsee. I mean, I'm still can be extremely self will run riot. I get myself into messes. She still gets people calling her tattletaling on what Carrie's done or what Carrie said in the meeting before. So I am high maintenance. So, you know, I need that accountability today. I think that I would be able to, at 10, almost 11 years sober, I think I would be able to be sponsored by her. But then again, it's all up to the person. Pam is on this call right now. Pam is a sobriety sister of mine that Beth also sponsors, and she doesn't even have 3 years. She'll have 3 years, I think, on Monday. Everybody get ready for Pam's birthday. But Pam, Pam is, she just moved to Seattle. And I was on the phone with Beth the other day, and I said, and she was telling me that, you know, when she moved to Bend, she had to get a new sponsor. Of course, her sponsor passed away, but I said, Pam isn't going to need a new sponsor, is she? And Beth laughed, and she goes, no, she won't have to get a new sponsor. And that's because Pam is very mature for a 3-year-old, you know, sober woman. So I think it just all, I was not as mature as Pam at 3 years sober. I would have needed the first hand, but I think we all grow at different rates.
I would agree with that. I would say it's very individual. I've had, you know, growing up in AA before a lot of technology, you know, because I was still using the phone book to find the phone number to an AA meeting. we were just coming into cell phones at that time. And so technology really was not available. And so there was a lot of greater emphasis on one-on-one face-to-face, you know, sitting down with your sponsor, and that's how I was raised in AA. And so having technology, which affords us, gosh, so many incredible connections, and it allows us to be in different states, you know, while we're sitting in our living room, you know, it's a way of connecting in a new way. Now, I have had the experience where I have taken on a couple of new sponsees, but they, since the pandemic and the Zoom venue, but they have a little bit of time under their belt. And so they have a familiarity with the program, and there is an understanding that I have with them about where their foundation is and how we can move forward developing an honest relationship. But that's the key, willingness and honesty and open-mindedness, right? So without those components, it doesn't matter whether you're in Timbuktu or you know, standing right in front of someone, you know, those are the components that make for an ideal sponsor-sponsee relationship.
Thank you so much, ladies. The next question says, Carrie, you have so many sponsees. Are you in contact with them on a regular basis? And if you are, how do you do it?
So my, first of all, I said I've sponsored probably 200 women. That does not mean that I sponsor 200 women. that means that, you know, the, and I will tell you this, and this is not, this is saying something for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and not for Carrie. The women that I've taken through the 12 steps, not through step 9, and then they recover and they graduate and they get their stuff back and they leave, but the women that I have taken through all 12 steps, which for me, the 12th step means to take someone else through the work. the women who I have taken through all 12 steps that they start working with others, not a single one to this day has drank yet. Now, some of them have moved on. Some of them have moved somewhere else out of the area. Some of them have, you know, there's tons of different things that happen, but not a single one of them have drank. Now, to answer the actual question, you know, a lot of women don't make it past freaking step one with me. I mean, I have a kind of a big requirement, and that's, and the reason that I'm so confident that I don't sponsor people who drink is because if you're doing everything on that requirement list, well, you're not going to drink. It's that simple. You're giving it away. You're walking somebody else through the work. And one of the promises in the big book is permanent sobriety. And then it uses the words permanent recovery as well. And nowhere does it say that we have a revolving door or one day at a time. It talks about permanent sobriety. And that's what I offer to those willing to achieve that.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
I do sponsor a probably close to 50, a service sponsor, probably close to 50 men and women. Some of them are on this call today, but that's not sponsorship. And I'll tell you what, when this whole pandemic, I probably sponsor maybe 12 to 14 women. That's it. Once you stop using me, I don't call you my sponsor. You know, I don't consider you a sponsee anymore. So I sponsor about 12 to 15 women at a time. I think the most I've went to is probably 20, 22 ish at one time. But once they have their own sponsees, they don't need you as much as they have in the past, you know? So it's not like you're constantly, I still keep one-on-one dates with them every week, 1 hour a week, one-on-one, for the most part. But it's mainly to talk about what's going on with the women that they sponsor and their service work and whatnot. And as soon as this pandemic hit, my sponsees, my recovery sponsees were the least of my worries. My service sponsees were calling on a daily basis, and I was getting overwhelmed with that because who would have predicted, right?
Thank you so much, Carrie. Okay, so I do have, we have time to answer one more quick one. And the next question that's in line is, can a person have two sponsors? Is there anything wrong with that?
It depends. Oh, go ahead, Beth.
Go ahead. I think you have to qualify. And if you're talking about, you know, a sponsor to take you through the 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous versus another 12-step program, or whether or not it's an added service sponsor, or, you know, but, you know, because that certainly, you know, I have sponsored women who have had like a service sponsor, or they will have like another 12-step sponsor for another 12-step program. But if you're talking about two AA sponsors, in my experience, I have never found that that works well. And the reason why is because you run the risk of getting possible conflicting information. And also it can create the temptation for the sponsee to share one thing with one sponsor and another thing with another sponsor. And the value that, at least in my experience with the women I sponsor and with my own sponsor, of having just one sponsor in AA as it relates to my recovery, is that, you know, I am getting consistent information. I have a point of accountability, and I know that she knows everything that's going on with me, and that is a reference point for me so that I can be guided through the lens of the 12 steps with a singular focus as opposed to a divided focus, which can actually work for me to, you know, for an individual to manipulate if they wanted to. There might be the temptation to do that. I don't see that as being beneficial in my experience.
Ditto.
Yes, ditto. That's what I was going to say.
Carrie, it says, what do you do when it is apparent that the sponsorship relationship is in name only?
Well, I just have that conversation with them that I just demonstrated today is, you know, it, obviously, if I'm not working for you, then you probably need to find someone who has a different set of suggestions, probably that work better for you, because I don't want you to think that you're being sponsored, at least not by me. You know, I mean, and you're not doing the requirements. So, maybe you don't need to do everything that I have to do for my sobriety, and that's okay, but you don't need me. Here's some phone numbers.
Great. The next question is, can you please speak on a time when, you've had to send someone to a different fellowship? Like HA.
So I can take that one. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, I served, as the CTF chair for 2 years here locally. And that stands for Cooperations with the Treatment Facilities. And after 2 years, by the time I rotated out after serving 14 panels, in Central Oregon, the counselors knew me pretty well. A couple years had gone by, and I was still in some of their phones, and I get this call from a counselor in Lapine, which is a town about a half hour away from the town I live in. And she says, you know, I have somebody here who really wants to work the big book. And you know, I know you love the big book, which I do. That's not a secret. And I think she really wants to work with you. And I said, that's wonderful. You know, give her my phone number. And she's like, okay. Well, she's a heroin addict. And I said, well, I don't care about her outside issues. So long as she's an alcoholic, like, you know, give her my phone number. She's like, well, she's not an alcoholic. I said, oh, well, been there, done that, learned that lesson. I used to have an ego that was big enough to think that I could help anybody recover from anything, because God has granted me recovery from alcoholism. But today I know how many heroin addicts are dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous because people care more about their feelings than their lives. And I've seen that firsthand enough to experience that. So I was able to tell her, you know, she can give me a call. I have lots of women in my phone number, in my phone for like my best friend is 17 years in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. She's not an alcoholic. She made a damn good cleaning up after my drunk ass, but she's not an alcoholic, you know, but she works a good program. And so I said, I can meet with her. Best I can do is try to qualify her as an alcoholic. I do have some experience helping alcoholics to qualify. You know, we go to page 21, page 44, doctor's opinion. We pull that stuff out. The big book tells us that we don't proceed unless I am convinced that he is a real alcoholic. And so it does tell me that before I proceed, then I have to be convinced that my prospect is a real alcoholic. Even if he's not convinced, even if he thinks he's just got a heavy drinker, I ask some questions and, you know, she'll answer the questions and I'll go, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we can work together, even though you're not an alcoholic. And I know that working the 12 steps will pull that alcoholism out. This woman, we sat down and I tried to qualify her and I failed. I couldn't do it. I called my sponsor. I called my service sponsor, and both of them, you know, guided me to, I gave her some homework. She did succeed with that homework. We met up a second time and she did come back with some letters from her, mom and dad from when she was in treatment for the first time ever. And when she was in treatment for the first time ever, she didn't even remember this. It was from alcoholism. And, when she was, 19 years old, she had almost kidney failure. She was puking blood. The doctor told her if she had ever drank again, she would die. And so she hadn't drank in over 10 years because she switched, at that point. So, I got very excited when she told me she was puking blood, scared her almost out of my car because I was so thrilled. And she's like, that's a good thing. I'm like, yeah, that means we can work together. But I did tell her, I said, listen, I'm going to take you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as laid out in the big book around alcohol. I don't want to hear about heroin. I'm scared to death of needles. I got no business going there. But when we finish working the 12 steps and you recover from alcoholism, again, I don't want to hear about heroin. And you recover, your max, you know, the big book tells us that our real purpose is to fit ourselves of maximum usefulness to God and those about us. And I'm going to expect you to start helping other heroin addicts who I can't help, who I'm not uniquely qualified to help in AA. And she agreed to that. She recovered from alcoholism. She was on her 12th step by the time she was 6 months sober, started the first meeting of Heroin Anonymous in Bend, Oregon, with help from heroin, with help from the Heroin World Service Office. And today she's Oregon State Delegate of HA. And she sponsors lots of other heroin addicts that I am not uniquely qualified to help.
Yeah, Stephanie, Beth, would you guys like to add to that, or do you want me to go ahead on to the next question?
I have nothing to add. Okay.
All right, so okay, so Dee, I'm going to go ahead. Oh, I have the last question I have is, what is a service sponsor?
So I've gotten the privilege of only having a sponsor who can do both jobs, right? So Carrie not only helps me with my 12 steps, and you know, she's the one I send my 11 step review to and stuff like that, but when I am being in my service positions, like what am I going to stand for? What is that entitle? The traditions, the concepts, all that is what a service sponsor is for. You know, like right now I've been serving on the Central Oregon Intergroup as their recording secretary, and I have had to lean on Carrie pretty heavy for tradition and concept help. I have been through the traditions and the concepts we have, you know, and so I know about them, it's hard sometimes here where we live. Fortunately, not everyone has knowledge of the traditions and the concepts, and sometimes they don't like them. So that's what a service sponsor is for, what you do in service.
Yeah, I remember one assembly, I got up on my high horse and I went to the podium and I started talking crap about service sponsorship. And I started saying that, you know, if everybody would just do their job in AA and take everybody through all three legacies, then we wouldn't need a service sponsor and it shouldn't even be in our literature. And if we're really sponsoring people the way they should be, then, you know, blah, blah, blah. And afterwards, somebody that I don't care for very much, but she had a very good point, came over to me and very quietly and discreetly said, Harry, don't you have a service sponsor? I said, well, yeah, but that's because my sponsor has never been in general service. And she's like, yeah, I think that's what a service sponsor is for. And I'm like, oh, yeah.